Good morning. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to come out and worship the Lord this morning, and we're glad that you're here and really want you to know that it's important for you to come back this Sunday night, that is tonight at 6 o'clock. We are wanting to honor the emergency workers in our community, the law enforcement officers, the EMTs, the firemen. We've invited those various groups to come and be a part of this service, and we're also having a meal in their honor. And one thing that's important is, since we are honoring this group, it is important that you're here in your attendance to show them that honor and to give them that recognition. And also, we're going to be praying for them, and so it's important for you to be here to join us in those prayers. And so let me really encourage you to realize that if we're doing this as an outreach and as a service to our community, then it's important for us to be here, if at all possible, to be here this night. We've had a good number sign up to bring food. We believe all our food is going to be covered, and so we appreciate all of you doing that. And the meal is for everybody as well, and so please come and enjoy the food, and let's honor this group of people and pray about them. We understand that some obviously will be working and others have other obligations and can't be here, but I think it's important for us to do this also to let our community know that we care about those who are serving in these fields, that are good Samaritans among us, as we'll be talking about tonight. This morning, we're going to be thinking about a subject that we probably don't hear many sermons on, the compassion of listening. When we think about Christians and the stereotype of Christians in the world, are we known more for our mouths or our ears? And I think probably most of the people in the world, especially the people who look on Christians in an unfavorable light, would say our mouths, that we're not known for our ears. In fact, even oftentimes in the church, and by those who get upset at the church or those who maybe leave the church, it's because they will say something with the problem with our mouths, and they never felt like they were listened to or heard. We need to be a listening church. We need to be a church that is listening to one another, a church that is listening to God and His Word. A church that is, as leaders, that we're wanting to listen to the congregation and we care about the members of the congregation. So we want to be a church that is listening to one another. So this morning we're going to think about how Jesus shares with us four ways that we can listen like Jesus. In the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 19, the famous passage, the Bible says that Christians should be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. But we often reverse that, don't we? We're quick to speak, we're quick to anger, and we often don't hear until after we've already spoken and after we've already gotten in trouble and gotten mad. So we need to reverse that. We need to work on being quick to hear, eager to listen. The Proverbs in chapter 18, verse number 2 would say, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." In Proverbs 18, verse 13, the Bible said, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." We've got to work on hearing before we even respond. So I want to note four things that, and back earlier, before our vacation Bible school, we studied from Samuel about how we need to listen to God. And We've studied from the book of James, chapter 1 before, about how we need to be always listening to the Word of God. But this morning, I'm not thinking about that as much. I want us to think about how we need to listen to one another and how we need to be listening to others in our world as a representation of God. We need to be listeners. So first of all, I want us to think that we need to be listeners, because listening and good listening is an act of love. It's an act of love. Poor listening diminishes the other person. It says to the other person, "You're not valued." And I know this is something that all of us need to work at. Because listening conveys a level of respect and value to the other person. In a famous paragraph by the German philosopher Bonhoeffer, he wrote this: "Just as love to God begins with listening to His Word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to one another. You know, we have to listen to God's Word. That communicates that we love God and we're hearing His message. But what does it say to our brethren if we won't listen to them? In the book of Philippians, Paul is writing about the mind of Christ. And in Philippians chapter 2, he talks about this attitude that should be amongst us in verses 3 through 5. And he says this. He says, beginning at verse 2, or verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions. I'm in Ephesians, excuse me. I need to be in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3. The Bible says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Listening is one of the chief ways that we can show to others that we're humble. That we can show to others that we're looking out not only for our own interest, but also for the interest of others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Paul, in describing love, says love is patient and love is kind. Kindness is displayed when we listen to others. And then in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and following, the Bible says, let love be genuine or sincere. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. And listen to this. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. What are some ways that we can, in a simple way, convey honor to one another by listening? And here's some things that we need to be reminded of. First of all, you know, in your listening, try to maintain eye contact. That conveys respect and honor to them, that they're significant. Be attentive to them, yet relaxed and not anxious or uptight. Wait for the speaker to finish what he's saying. Especially if you're in a heated discussion or you're thinking about what you want to respond with, try to wait and listen to what they're saying first. And then probe by asking clarifying questions that don't degrade but seek to show care. You know, it's just the truth that the way our mind works is that we can hear faster than we can speak. And so lots of times when someone else is speaking, we're hearing a little bit what they're saying and we're already thinking about what we want to say. But we need to slow down and we need to listen to what they're saying and honestly try to take that in and then ask for clarifying questions that communicate care and love and honesty and try to give feedback or summary as we try to pay attention to what they're saying. And also, and you're aware of this, but it's so important to be aware of the nonverbal cues that people are giving. You see, face gestures and body movements and things like that are also communicating something about the person and also what we're saying and are speaking. So when we think about listening and the importance of listening, we realize that how we listen is really a way that we love one another. And that if we want to be a church that loves one another and loves our community and loves our family, that one of the ways that we do that is by being willing to listen to one another. But number two, Jesus would have us to hear with our hearts more than our ears. As Christians, we need to be attentive to others around us. You know, whenever you do studies, and I know Joseph and others who work in counseling and social work fields will tell you that oftentimes people that are in trouble, I'm talking about those who are alcoholics or drug addicts or are in jail, prostitution, things like that. When researchers have gone in and discussed them, said they will often say something along these lines. Well, I felt like no one listened to me. I was offering cries for help, but no one listened. And sometimes even We find this out when people have attempted suicide. And there was a study done, for example, in San Francisco of prostitutes. And overwhelmingly, they said, what I needed most was someone to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen. When we think about Jesus and the example of Jesus, we realize that Jesus was someone who was always compassionate in his heart. Notice in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 14, we read about Jesus. We find out that when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Oftentimes we read verses like that about Jesus, where he would spend days. And one time he spent several days with the multitudes, and he realized that they were all hungry because they'd been out there. He had been healing them. He had been teaching them for days, and they hadn't had anything to eat. And of course, this leads to the miracle of him feeding them the fish and the loaves. But Jesus was very attentive to their needs because he had been listening to them, and he had compassion for their needs. When we think about hearing with our hearts more than our ears, we think about Jesus when he talked to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Here's a woman who was, first of all, a woman, and the Jewish men were not supposed to talk to her, and the apostles were amazed that he was speaking with her. And then she was a Samaritan. She was hated by the Jewish people. She was a worldly woman, had been married numerous times, and was living with the man now. And yet Jesus is listening to her. Jesus asks her questions. He talks to her and he shares with her about the living water. You see how Jesus communicated love? How he communicated more that he's hearing what's in her heart? I think about the story of Nicodemus in John 3, just one chapter before, where he comes to him at night and he's asking Jesus these things. It's in the middle of the night, and Nicodemus has come probably in secret so that he wouldn't have to be exposed because he was a ruler and a Pharisee. And Jesus listens and answers. You think about how tirelessly Jesus answered the apostles' questions, and he struggled with their lack of faith, trying to always deal with them. We must see one another as being willing to listen and look to what's going on in our lives of our brethren. God wants more of Christians than just our good listening. He wants our actions and things too, but he wants us to be willing to listen to one another. One author wrote that good listening often diffuses the emotions that are part of the problem being discussed. Oftentimes, when people have problems in the church, maybe they have problems with the church, maybe they have problems with you. You know, the best way to try to solve that is often by listening to what their problems are. Oftentimes, some of the best counseling that a counselor does or a preacher does is simply listen. And then someone goes away and they say, you helped me a lot. And the counselor, or the preacher, or the elder, or whoever it is that thinks, well, you know, I really didn't do anything. But they listened. And the person often knows what their answer is. They know the solution. They often know what they need to do. But they need to have someone to listen to them to help them talk through it and work it out. Oftentimes that's you. That's you for a younger person, an older person, for a family member. And we need to be that to one another. We need to be the kind of people that are looking and are attentive to the needs of others, that listen with an open heart, not in a judgmental attitude like Matthew 7:1 speaks about. We need to truly have a feeling for the speaker. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that God is the God of all comforts. This is the idea of what compassion means, is listening with a love and with a pain in our heart for the feelings that that are going on in their heart and mind. One of the greatest things that God does for us, probably had never thought about it from this lens before, is God listens to us. Think about it like that. God, the God of all this universe, God who has so much to do, God who the awesome God of the world, He listens to you. That's awesome, isn't it? We're thankful that God listens. How much different would our faith be? How much more struggle would we have in this life if God didn't listen? And He listens with His heart. He listens with His spirit. He listens even to our groanings that we don't even know how to utter sometimes, Romans 8 talks about. He listens. You see, we need to be that kind of listener. You see, we need to be looking. You know, when someone comes forward, that is often an attempt to be listened to. When someone asks for prayer request, it's an attempt to be listened to. When someone is upset or offended, often it's a desire to be listened to, that they feel like no one's hearing their perspective. They want someone to know what's going on in their life. When someone changes their behavior, or a young person starts acting out or doing things that are not accustomed to their past, that's often an attempt to be listened to. You see, when there's key dates, holidays or anniversaries, and people are discouraged, there's a need for them to be listened to. When a marriage is in problem or a child is having problems, the parents need to be listened to. And we can be that. We can be that for one another. You see, I began this point by talking about how people often who are in problem will say, the reason I got here is because no one listened to me. I actually think that's probably not the truest of statements. People listen to them with their ears. But I think what their meaning is, I think what they're trying to convey is, I never felt like anybody ever stayed with me long enough, ever listened long enough to really hear what I needed. You see, oftentimes the thing that a person really needs, they will not share with you. Even what they want to talk about, they will not share with you until the last thing. They want to share you, they want to feel out your reaction. They want to feel if they can trust you. They want to know if you care. If you'll stay with them long enough, through life, through walking with them through struggles and pains and through love and through care, to be able to listen to what's really going on in their heart. And oftentimes people that have been passed around or not had the attention they need or the love they needed in their home, they grow up and they feel like no one ever really listened to me because no one ever really loved them and cared them enough to know what was going on in their heart. We need to listen with our hearts more than our ears. And we all need to work on this. Number three, and there's four of these. We need to be good listening in that we need to be patient. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient. Good listening requires endurance and patience. There was an old man, he was 80 years old, and he was eating with his daughter. He was the grandfather, and he was eating with his daughter and her children and things. And after the Sunday lunch, he decided he was going to go out for a little walk. He says, I'll be gone about 20 minutes. Just going to walk through the neighborhood and walk off some of this lunch I ate and get a little exercise, and then I'll be back. It was 2 hours before he came back. They were starting to get a little worried. They were looking out for him. He said, oh, you know, I'm sorry I'm late. But I stopped to talk to an old friend I saw out in the yard. And they just would not stop listening. Think about that. I met a man like that at PTP. I'm glad the lecture started so I could leave. Because I tell you, as long as I listened, I think he would be there. But some people, you were expecting me to say, wouldn't stop talking. But isn't that a good friend who just won't stop listening? You know, we often choose our friends not by our talkers, but by those who listen to us. We care about people. Patience is required. Patience is necessary for us to be good listeners. To not be thinking about what you're going to say, to allow your day to be interrupted in life. I want to read another quote from Bonhoeffer as well. He says that we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God, who will thwart our plans and frustrate our ways time and again, even daily by sending people across our path with their demands and their requests. We can then pass them by, preoccupied with our important daily tasks, just as the priest, perhaps reading his Bible, passed by the man who had fallen amongst the robbers. You see, sometimes we've got all these to do. And this is the amazing thing about Jesus. Jesus did so much, but he was always in the present so that he could minister to and listen and care to whoever interrupted him. We've got to be willing to be interrupted in order to listen, be willing to listen when we're interrupted. That takes patience. It takes patience to really listen, to be endearing. I think about in Matthew 13, 18 through 23, the parable of the souls. And that the parable of the sower, the souls, deals with this concept of listening. And Jesus talks about hearing all through it. And what's interesting is that really you can talk about each of the four soul types based upon how they heard. There was the hard-hearted listener. You couldn't even get to him. It was the rocky soil. I mean, the roadside soil. He was hard-hearted. He wouldn't listen at all. And then there is the shallow-hearted listener. Now, this is the soil that is rocky, that the seeds go into it, and it's rocky, and it takes a little bit of growth, but then it withers and dies because it doesn't have deep roots. That's the shallow-hearted listener. That's the person that listens to you real quickly. They listen to God's Word real quickly, and then they move on. And then there's the one that I often fall into, the clutter-hearted listener. That is, we've got so many things going, we've got so much activity going on, and in my house you've got four kids talking and noise going on, and you've got so much clutter and noise in your life, and you're, you know, you school teachers understand it, especially if you're teaching like middle school or kindergarten, you know, you got all this noise going on, and you got a lot of clutter. It's hard to listen. Well, in the biblical perspective, the clutter-hearted listener is the one who has so much emphasis on the world that he cannot hear God. And in our lives, we need to not have so many things going on that we can't hear our brethren. We can't hear our family. We can't hear our children. And what's going on in their heart. And then, of course, the last category is the good-hearted listener. The good-hearted listener who listens to the Word of God and takes it in. When you listen patiently, you convey care and concern. You see, we need to be a patient listener. And then finally, I would suggest that we need to recognize that our listening reflects our relationship with God. You see, after the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 5, the Bible says on several different accounts of this in the various gospel accounts, they all have this statement, this idea. This is my beloved Son, the voice thunders from heaven. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And then it says this, listen to Him. Remember Peter was talking about, let's build other tabernacles and let's honor Moses and Elijah. And God says, no, wait a minute, listen to Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, God was always telling Israel, hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel, listen. In fact, there's three things mentioned to all seven churches of Asia. And one of those key things mentioned to the churches of Asia was, he who has ears, let him hear. Revelation begins with a blessing to those who hear. We've got to be willing to listen to God. Here's the thing. We've got to listen to God as Christians. But we are the body of Christ. We have to be willing to be God's ears. We talk a lot in the church about how we've got to be God's mouth. And all these things going on in our culture, we've got to be speaking out because we're God's mouth. And we've got to be the ones who share the gospel, because if the church doesn't share the gospel, no one's going to share the gospel. So we've got to preach. And I believe in preaching. We've got to preach. That's our mouth. But folks, we don't talk about how we've got to be the ears of God. And there are people out there who you work with. There are people in your family that they're not going to hear what you say about the saving message of Jesus until you hear where they are in their life. We've got to be the ears of God often before we can be the mouth of God. And what we do in terms of our listening to one another in the church and to our community is how we reflect the image of God. And so we need to realize that our listening is also a representation of God. And as a church, I'm not saying we're bad at this. But I want to emphasize publicly that we want to be a good listening church. That we want to be a church that cares and listens to one another, and that if people have a public need, they can come forward and express that, and we'll listen. Or if people need to talk to the elders, that our elders are listening men. They care and they love and they're concerned. Our deacons, if you have a problem or an idea about their ministry, that they want to listen. And that the preacher and the youth minister, that we want to listen. And that we can't grow forward. And we can't grow unless we also listen to one another. And so we want to be a listening church. We want to be known as much for our ears as our mouths. Because the Bible says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. And so this morning, think about the compassion of listening and ask yourself how you can do better at conveying love, conveying the image of God to others through listening. And try to listen with your heart as much as your ears. If you're here this morning, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you need to give Christ your life through repentance, confession, and baptism, or if you need to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing. He said.